Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, October 29th. I'm Ray Graff. Our focus today is plumbing, and whether you're doing a major overhaul or just trying to fix a backed-up sink, Alan Ayers will be here to offer his advice. Alan is the vice president of Crisafulli Brothers that provides plumbing, heating, and air conditioning design, installation, service, and maintenance in New York's capital region. If you have a plumbing question, give us a call. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers and your plumbing calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Plumbing, maintenance, and repair today. And in the studio to answer your questions is Alan Ayers, vice president of Crisafulli Brothers. For 80 years, Crisafulli Brothers has provided plumbing, heating, and air conditioning design, installation, service, and maintenance to the Capital Region. The New York State Certified Women's Business Enterprise has been voted the best of the region each year since 2007, as well as a top workplace in 2018. Hey, you got a plumbing question? Now's the time. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Tweet us if you want to at WAMCVoxPop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org, but the number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Ray.
You said words in the break here that put the fear into my soul. You said it's time to start thinking about getting ready for winter, and I don't like it.
I don't blame you a little bit.
What do we got to do?
First thing would make sure you're disconnecting your hoses. You want to take a walk around, hose faucets.
Well, let me ask you about that.
Sure.
All right, you have the outside garden hose or whatever, right? You disconnect it. The outside spigot is still open.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
There's a little bit of water at the connection point still there typically, or sometimes people leave the hose on and just use a sprayer as the on-off,
right?
And they'll forget.
Ah, okay.
And then everything is charged. And
not a good plan, then.
No, not a good
plan. Take the hose
off. Take the hose off.
Should we cap the faucet?
No. Most faucets are frost-free at this point, and they can just be left alone, and as long as they're off.
Okay.
They should be good.
That's good advice. What else?
Some of the other things would be to seal up any drafty windows, open windows in your basement. Some people leave windows open routinely to air out the basement or whatever, and oftentimes we'll get calls for burst pipes in the middle of winter because they've inadvertently left that window open. General check around it. You know, it's time to change your smoke detector batteries is a great time to have both your plumbing and your HVAC systems checked out.
You know, the the burst pipe thing can be very annoying. What is the best way and it's too early to worry about this now, but now I am worried about it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What's the best way to prevent that?
Oh, making sure you don't have any vulnerable points in your house, making sure that anything that's on an outside wall is insulated well. If not, maybe get some insulation at your plumbing supply house.
Like what?
Like some foam insulation to wrap around your water lines that are underneath the kitchen sink that might be on an outside wall.
Yeah.
If you have an older home, they would, back in 50 years ago, they would put the water line to the toilet on an outside wall. You might want to insulate that a little bit.
Okay.
During extreme weather, if it's going to be sub-zero, I would suggest leaving a faucet or two trickling. Just a tiny bit of a trickle.
Right. In a couple of different spots?
A couple of different spots.
All right.
Keep that water moving.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Plumbing today on Vox Pop. Alan Ayers of Crisafulli Brothers is here. We had an email prior to the show beginning. Two questions from Ray in Gloversville. First question, what agency licenses plumbers in New York State? Is a person licensed or is it the company? Some plumbers state licensed master plumber on their internet page. Is there a website where I can verify this? That was actually five questions.
Yeah.
But there's more.
In New York State, we don't have a one all-in-state agency that governs the certification for master plumbers. It's up to each individual municipality to pass their own laws, which makes it, as a tradesman, it does make it a little difficult. In Gloversville, it'll be a different code than in Schenectady.
It's not a county thing? It's by the town or by the city?
By the town or the city,
wow.
Yeah. Yep.
I can't believe that in New York State, where the government has such reach, that they've allowed that to happen.
Yeah, it's It's unique for sure.
Now, what about the website that would say licensed master plumber? Only one has to be the master plumber of the bunch, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. And the second question from Ray is about a water heater. And Ray writes, I've got a 15-year-old power vent water heater. This model has ports on the side for space heating. Can it be drained and inspected to verify the condition?
Oh, without draining or inspecting, I can promise you, Ray, you're on borrowed time.
Okay, he says, I'm trying to determine if getting rusty water from a worn-out water heater versus iron sediment in the tank.
My guess would be it'd be rusty water from iron sediment.
Okay.
In the tank or in the piping, but not the tank. If the tank was rusting, your glass is gone and it would be evident. There'd be a 40 gallons on your floor.
15-year-old water heater, though. It's on borrowed time.
It certainly is.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Plumbing Today. Alan Ayers is our guest. And let's go to Dennis in... Dennis, where are you calling from? Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
Okay, you go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, I have a hot water tank that I moved in an expansion in the basement, 16 feet further away from the kitchen. And now it takes a long time to get the hot water up to the kitchen. It's the furthest away faucet. And I wondered if there was a better solution to rework the piping, or I know I could move the tank. I have a basement that I'm currently working on, so I got flexibility. But I wondered about putting in a auxiliary tankless heater, a small one, or a regular, like a 5-gallon or a 10-gallon tank closer to the kitchen, or if there's some other way that I might get hot water quicker.
Sure thing, Dennis. That's a common problem in some larger homes or when people do renovations like you did. My first plan would be to install a recirculation line. So that's a pump that you connect a pipe to your water heater and run it down toward that kitchen sink. And it can be put on a timer so that every, say, 15 minutes, it runs for 5 minutes. And it'll keep the hot water nice and close to that kitchen sink. That's the most economical way to do it.
All right. And then that would, you put the pump closer to the hot water tank or bring it closer to the sink? So it senses, well, actually this one wouldn't sense whether the hot water was there. You just automatically time it on and time it off.
Correct. Exactly. And I would, just for the sake of convenience, install the pump near the water heater so that all your equipment's next to each other.
Okay. And then and run a line back from the kitchen back to the cold side of the hot water tank.
Exactly. Correct. Yeah. And I would just run it anywhere underneath the kitchen sink. It can be 5 or 10 feet away from the kitchen just to get it a little bit closer. Yeah. It'll help keep everything nice and warm for you.
Dennis, thanks for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop Plumbing Today. Alan Ayers is our guest. And Ed is in Ulster County. Ed, you're on.
Hey. Yeah. You know, I called about a year ago with this question, and it was that I had air in the water line that would explosively blast periodically. I mean, it could literally knock a plate right out of my hands if I was washing dishes when this happened. And I never did. It seemed to be periodically, like maybe every 20, 30 gallons of water, I'd get a bunch of this air, and the air would come out, and then it would go back to flowing water again. So about a week ago, I never looked into it. I don't remember if it was you or a different plumber on the show said, well, see if you may have a leak in the well, or it could be this or it could be that. So about 2 weeks ago, or maybe a week and a half ago, I got a really big blast of air to the point where it actually lowered the pressure in my pressure tank below the cutoff level where you have to restart it. You know, like when it goes below 20 pounds, it like shuts off so that it's not, you know, just pumping air or whatever for whatever reason. So I did that and started it up, and now it has not had the air problem since. So there's this huge accumulation of air that blasted out all at once, and the problem went away. But I'm thinking it's probably not gone permanently, and I'm wondering if that would be a clue as to what the source of the air getting in the water might be.
You mentioned bladder tank, so I'm going to assume you're on a well then.
It's on a well, and it's a 26-gallon bladder tank, and it's been in for about 20 years or more.
My guess is you'd really want to get somebody that's familiar with wells down there, but my guess is there's something to do with the piping. You're trapping air, and it's accumulating in an elbow, like in the top of an elbow, or like when cars go underwater in the movies, there's that pocket of air in the top of the car. So I think you've got that somewhere in your piping, and what it's doing, it's sitting there and collecting until it has no more room to collect.
And then it's being released.
Right.
Now, is that a bad design in the piping? In other words, has that always been the case that maybe someone put it in at the wrong angle, or is this just something that's happened over time?
That's my theory.
This has only happened the last couple of years, maybe the last year or two. And like I said, it seems like it completely went away when we had this last really big blast of air about a week or two ago.
Interesting. That's one of those mysteries that, you know, without really getting into it, rolling up my sleeves for, you know, a couple hours, I wouldn't be able to guess from here, unfortunately, Ed.
Okay, and the other thing is I have an old Youngstown sink, and the faucet is leaking badly, and it's kind of corroded. You can't really take the faucet apart to put a new washer, and I tried, and it made it leak even worse, so I can't get the thing out. It's like not... There's no way to just unscrew it and remove it and replace the whole faucet. Mm.
Is the Youngstown sink, is that the one with the faucet on the back deck, like on the wall of the sink?
It's on the flat part of the back of the sink.
Okay.
And it's the old-fashioned with the separate hot and cold. And it's like underneath, the pipe goes all the way across, so you can't undo it from underneath.
Right.
Without cutting it with a saw.
You might have to open up the Yellow Pages and call an experienced plumber to come down and take a look at it.
I mean, would CLR get rid of some of that corrosion?
Anything would help. You know, any kind of lubricant, penetrating oil would help for the time being. But my guess is once it's been on there for so long, it's just a feel thing. You have to get a plumber down there that's got some experience behind it.
Yeah, I know. I knew that was sort of a dumb question.
Sorry, Ed. Anyhow, I wish I had better answers for you.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call. We got to take a break here. 800-348-2551 is our number, and Alan Ayers is our guest. We'll be back with more plumbing after this. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's Plumbing Today. Alan Ayers is our guest. Alan from Chris Afully Brothers. The number is 800-348-2551 if you have a plumbing question. A couple of quick emails here. This one's from Sheila. When a plumber needs to make holes in walls in order to access pipes, is that plumber and or his plumbing service then responsible for fixing the holes? I know the answer, but go ahead.
Unfortunately, Sheila, no.
Yeah, been there, done that, Sheila. Good luck fixing the drywall.
Yeah, sorry, Sheila.
All right, this one is from Michael. I have an electric traditional upright water heater but have limited space. I'd like to go to a tankless electric. Is this possible in our small utility closet?
Absolutely.
Okay. And now back to the phones. You're very efficient, Alan Ayers. You're an efficient guest. We go to line three. It's Bill in Saugerties. Bill.
Yes, I have two similar questions about heating.
Okay.
I have a empty room over the garage. It's finished, but there is absolutely nothing in it. We heated it with a propane stove. I'm willing to have the stove completely off for the winter. My wife says we should leave it on 50 degrees or so. That's one question. The second question is, in the main house, hot oil baseboard heating, we have no one upstairs now again. And I have that thermostat turned all the way down to where the last number on it would represent about 50. So the question there is that going to come on or is that totally off if the thermostat is all the way to the left? Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Bill. First question, your wife's always right.
Yeah.
If somebody else posed the question to you, I would tell you that it's perfectly fine to turn the heat off in that garage. As long as there's no water pipes or anything like that, it's perfectly fine to turn that propane heater off.
There's nothing in there.
Nothing in there. Turn it on, okay. Off. Save some money.
All right.
Second question is, your thermostat upstairs will most likely turn on the baseboard heat when it reaches that 45 or 50 degree mark.
All right.
Okay. So it's not an off-off thing?
No, unless you switched it off, there might be a lever of some kind on your thermostat to, you know, turn it to the off position.
No, it's just, 60 is the last number you see, then there's about 5 more dots, which I assume means it's down to 50.
Yeah, that would be my guess, too.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
Why don't they just put a 50 on there? Why the guesswork? All right, now we go to, looks like, Saul in Gilderland. Saul, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm interested in finding out about the tankless hot water systems and the tankless boiler system. I have both. I would like to know how often they should be serviced, if at all. Thank you.
All right. Very good.
Thanks for the question, Saul. I would suggest that each and every piece of heating equipment you have or water heating equipment gets serviced annually, especially the tankless units. They're a little more complicated than what the heating and hot water heaters of yesterday were. And if you don't keep up on top of maintenance, you risk greater repair bills that none of us like.
Now, these have been around now for a number of years,
right? Oh, for sure.
And
yeah.
Have you seen, in your experience, these are more prone to failure or problems than the old school water heaters?
Not if maintained.
All right.
If you don't maintain it and somebody that installs it says, you're good for 3-4 years. All right. Don't worry about it.
So yearly?
Absolutely. 100%.
All right, Saul. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. Eric in Del Mar. Eric.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the line. I have what I think is probably a simple question, but I don't know the answer. Looking into doing a bathroom remodel that would involve moving around some of the fixtures. And I ultimately want to move the toilet about 6 feet over, which would be a couple of joist spaces over. So the question is there a way to use the existing plumbing, which would require carefully going through support joists, or how do you get new pipes up to that space? And it would be on a second floor.
Most likely you can use the existing plumbing. 90% of the time you can. But what you're talking about might be a little bit more than a homeowner wants to try to tackle, only because the codes and also just the laws of plumbing might get compromised when you're moving a toilet over that far, and you may end up having to take down your kitchen ceiling when you don't want to in a few years.
I see.
So probably it can be used, but I would still maybe, even if you did a consultation with like a local plumber or somebody, have them come take a look at it.
I got it. But would they, the ceiling joists, those are, I've heard you shouldn't cut into them because you need a pretty large pipe to support a toilet. Are you saying that you could actually do that?
If they were the right size joists and you were in the center of the joist and all things being, is it a new construction home? Then yes, I'm saying you could probably do it.
New construction.
You sure don't want that falling through the ceiling, though,
you
right?
You definitely don't want a toilet in your kitchen.
No.
You don't. You don't want the house to cave in.
That's right. A good plan.
But the alternative is to run pipes up from the basement and cut through all the sheetrock?
Yep, and just run a new pipe down to the basement. Either one.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the answer.
Eric, thanks for the call. Alan Ayers is our guest from Crisafulli Brothers. The number is 1-800-348-2551. And over to Kurt in Saratoga Springs. Kurt.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for the call. I have a 2-year-old Heil hot air furnace, and it's started having this behavior of running for between 10 and 12 minutes, and then it will just inexplicably shut off, not reaching the temperature set point. And then within a minute, it will recycle back up, refire up, ignite the flame, and come back on for a second round and keep doing that. And I can't figure out why it's shutting off. I'm an engineer, so I look for opportunities like this to try to figure these things out. So I did go and look at some things and check, like, the flame rollout switch. And that is good. And the pressure sensor on the exhaust fan tested good. And I've kind of run out of things to check of what sensor might be triggering this thing to go off.
Hmm.
Interesting. Kurt, you say it's 2 years old, and is the furnace something that you installed or you had somebody install?
No, I had a professional local plumber do it.
So my first thing would be to consider the high limit reset for that. It seems like maybe the furnace is overheating and resetting on a safety limit switch. And that could be to a number of reasons. Maybe the furnace is oversized. Maybe the ductwork's undersized. Maybe it's a faulty switch. But it's definitely something you're going to want to have looked at by, you know, a professional HVAC technician.
Okay.
Because it could be any number of things. It could be too many things to really try to pinpoint. The relationship of the ductwork size versus the furnace size versus the house size.
And there's a standard code for that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep.
I see. Okay. Yeah, because another time it has a flashing light on the front that normally flashes, like they call it the heartbeat, in its normal mode. And a few of the times I've gone down and looked at it, and it will be flashing code 4. And code 4 says it's one of those limit switches, the flame rollout or the high limit switch.
My guess is it's the high limit switch.
Okay. Faulty switch, you think?
But they're all showing as being closed.
Hard to diagnose on the phone.
It is. All unfortunately, right. Yeah. Kurt. Okay. Sorry, man.
Well, you're an engineer, though. I bet you're going to figure it out, Kurt. Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Alan Ayers is our guest. Sally is in Ulster Park. Hello, Sally.
Hello.
You're on.
I have a question about knocking pipes that started about 10 days ago in my house. After my husband tried to increase the flow of water in one of our bathtubs.
Oh, boy.
I know he's going to be able to figure it out. My question is, while it's going on, is it causing any damage?
Oh, Sally, can I ask you to describe the knocking sound?
Well, we don't have metal pipes, but that's what it sounds like. Things that are shaking that are... I've been in older homes, and it kind of reminds me of the noise I've heard. I'm guessing it might be air in the line. That's what I'm suspecting and he's suspecting. But it's only in the two bathrooms. It's not from the kitchen. It's just the two bathrooms. When you turn the sink water on and off, it's almost like something is banging in the walls.
Okay, so my first guess would be if your husband took a handle off the faucet and tried to increase the faucet flow at the faucet level, my guess is he may have a loose screw.
Does your husband have a loose screw, Sally? We'll take that as a yes.
My husband is very, very handy. We're very busy right now, and I just want to make sure that until he gets to look at it and figure it out, that it's not causing any damage to anything in the house.
My guess would be absolutely no damage whatsoever.
Okay. That's all I really needed, some reassurance about that. Thank you.
Yeah. You would suggest to him to go back through his repair and maybe just tighten everything up.
Hey, and call us next time. Let us know how it worked out.
For sure.
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks, Sally. 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop Plumbing today with Alan Ayers and Kirk in Scotia. Kirk.
No, Timothy Cook.
Oh, Cook. I'm sorry. You're on. And by the way, I see the description.
Cook.
I did. Okay, Tim. Can we call you Tim?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I just don't answer to poetic... diminutives like Timmy.
Okay, I won't call you Timmy then, but we'll call you Timothy.
Okay, anything but.
Why don't we just get to the call? But I would just ask that you don't mention the plumbing company specifically. I see the description on my computer here. Just avoid company names and then go on with your call.
I need to know the ethical and legal, if I have any legal standing. They don't know that I kept the closed record. I called them back. This is the fault. I didn't have it checked last winter. I was quite sick. I have Parkinson's disease, and my wife has epilepsy. So we're two neurological soulmates taking care of each other.
Right.
So I depend on people's honesty.
And so what happened?
He replaced each major part of the furnace. It took him about 3 months to do it. First, he had the water condenser, not condenser, Amitrol boiler system expansion tank. He installed it upside down. That's what I was told by the next plumber that came. I don't know if that makes a difference. I was told by a third plumber when I just phoned around. It really made no difference on the model, which is a Honeywell air purger. Whether the cap, oh, that's loose. That's real loose. It's supposed to be loose, the red cap on top. And so I don't know if it's installed right. You can read it correctly now, so I'm imagining it was installed upside down the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know how they managed that. Then they came and they told me, tried to tell me I needed a new water tank. That's the only thing they didn't replace because I said, no, I don't. I know what that is. That's condensation leaking. That's down to the bottom. It looks like rust. Looks like you need a new water tank.
Right.
He said, no, I think you need it. So I went and got from the... anyway, I brought some steel wool down, and I showed him.
Okay.
It took me about 10 seconds to wipe it all away.
All right.
So I'm wondering if I should have them come and have my wife with me to document everything in case something goes. Because it's making a funny noise now.
Mm.
It's actually making a quite pleasing noise.
Oh.
I enjoy classical music. It makes a beautiful cello-like chord. Oh.
Well, that might be dangerous, but I'm sure it sounds lovely.
A chord of notes, right.
Okay.
It's like the end of a... But I'm wondering what that means.
Yeah, okay.
I never heard it before, and it's getting more complex.
Interesting.
So like, you'll hear the chant, and I think it begins in the water chant.
Yeah.
Maybe the rods, I don't know.
Excuse me, Kirk.
So use rods.
Alan, what do you think?
Honestly, I think that Kirk should maybe try a fourth plumber and go into the Yellow Pages and find somebody that's, you know, one of the larger companies that's been in business quite a while.
Have him most of the plumbers that Kirk, and I don't know who you use, and I don't want to know, especially on the air for legal reasons, but most of the plumbers that I have used in my house they give you a guarantee.
Yeah, for sure.
They warranty their work. So, you know, if you used reputable people, give them a call. They'll
be reasonable. In my experience, too. All our competitors are typically reasonable.
And I like the idea of the cello sound.
Yeah,
I do too. That's very nice, very relaxing until the house explodes, right? And now let's go to Mark in Albany. Mark.
Hi, thank you. This is a different kind of question, but very important. I read an article by Amory Lovins, of the Rocky Mountain Institute, a MacArthur certified genius on energy efficiency. And he said that the bigger the diameter of a pipe for HVAC, the less energy loss, both from friction and radiation from the pipe.
Huh.
So that replacing pipes where feasible with bigger ones can mean major, major energy savings. I'm interested specifically in Empire State Plaza, where the government just committed to not going ahead with a frack gas power plant and instead looking at renewable energy.
All right.
And Lovin says that first you do efficiency as much as possible, then you do energy supply. So my question is, how feasible would it be to replace all the HVAC pipes at a big complex like Empire State Plaza with the largest possible pipe diameters?
Well, good luck with that one, Alan Ayers. Go ahead. You have 30 seconds.
Mark, thank you so much. What you're bringing to the table is definitely a problem for a professional engineer, mechanical engineer to solve. You know, as a home service provider or commercial plumbing installer, I don't want to try to second-guess the engineers. They've got a lot more expertise in that area for me. For sure.
Okay, but that's an interesting question, though.
Yeah. It would have to be a large project to overcome the curve, of course.
Maybe you want to take that up with your state legislator.
We've talked to the state legislatures. We've met with them. Okay. I think I'm going to contact the Rocky Mountain Institute directly. But that then scaling down the problem to individual homeowners.
Yeah.
Is that practical in most cases to replace all the pipes with wider ones?
God, it's got to be an expensive job.
I don't think there would be enough juice for the squeeze.
Yeah.
So to say.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, we have to take a break here, Mark, but thanks for a good one. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Plumbing Today and Other Things with Alan Ayers, and we'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Plumbing Today. Alan Ayers is here from Chris Afully Brothers, and the number is 800-348-2551. This email from Curtis in Poughkeepsie gets right to the point. We have an automatic water-fed boiler in the basement that feeds steam radiators upstairs. What should I be checking before turning on the boiler via the thermostat? And that's from Curtis.
The water level in the sight glass would be the first thing to check.
Yeah.
Definitely make sure the water level is somewhere in the middle of that sight glass.
Okay.
That's the first and most important one. Other than that, I would definitely suggest, you know, somebody gets an HVAC technician out there to look at least once a year.
Okay. Now, our number is 800-348-2551, and back to the phones we shall go. Tom in Northville. Tom, you're next.
Hi there. Last winter, my main trunk line, as it exits the one end of the house, has the bathroom, so that's the bathroom, the toilet, the sink, shower. It goes about 40 feet where it connects with the trunk line from the kitchen, where it then goes down into the ground and out of the house. That stretch from the, it's just a crawl space, it's not a full basement. That part from the bathroom to the T froze last year. And I'm trying to figure out anything we could do to prevent that from happening again. Is it because it's not enough pitch? Is it because of the it's too cold?
My guess would be a little bit of both.
Okay.
The easiest way to fix it would first be to make sure that your crawl space is all buttoned up as tight as you can get it. And maybe, you know, invest in some, you know, bat insulation or some other, maybe some, you know, hardboard insulation or something, and to try to insulate that room a little bit. The ground should keep that pipe from freezing if it's surrounded by your house in a good envelope, if you will. That'd be the first place to look.
Is there insulation you could put around the pipe, or will that not help?
I think you're just going to move the risk to other pipes in your home. If the crawl space is getting so cold that the drain line's freezing, then potentially other drain lines will freeze or other water lines or something like that. You should probably treat the envelope.
Okay. The water lines are actually all inside, except for the I have a heat tape on the where just that little bit where the main line comes into the house.
Yeah.
But all the water lines for the plumbing are inside. Above the crawl space.
Tom, I'd definitely really, if you were my brother, I'd say please just insulate your envelope and get that thing tightened up for sure.
Okay.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC and Matt in Vermont. Hello, Matt, you're on.
Hi, guys. I have two questions.
Sure.
One, I have a small bathroom with an electric hot water heater in a nearby, an adjoining closet. And when I go, if that door in that bathroom is closed for a while, I go in there and I smell sort of a sulfury smell, which originally I kind of mistook for, a sewage smell. But now I'm getting more of a, you know, a sulfury smell. And I'm wondering if that has anything to do with that hot water heater. I've heard things like that.
Absolutely. Usually that smell is a result of your sacrificial anode rod. Disintegrating, doing its job. We put that into, or the manufacturers put sacrificial anode rods in water heaters to kind of collect any kind of dissimilar material, metal, chemical reactions, and it can be replaced. Chances are it just needs an anode rod replacement.
All right, and that anode is generally down near the pilot or down near the element somewhere?
If it's a stand-up electric water heater, it's right in the top in between the hot and cold water pipe. It'll look like a brass nut, maybe.
Yep, and I know exactly what they look like.
Yeah, and it should be like, you know, 2 or 3 feet long.
Okay, and then my other question is, this house is heated with electric baseboard, and it's very expensive. So I started doing some surface research on those Mitsubishi air source heat pumps. And my only question is to you, do you have experience with those? And if you do, you know, what temperatures do they work down to? And I know you probably can't answer this, but I'm wondering, percentage-wise, how much more efficient, like, any idea what I would save if I made the move to that?
You would probably get your money back. Upfront cost is going to be a little bit, but you'll get your money back in probably 5 to 8 years, depending on how you use it.
But how long will it last?
They should last 15 years, 20 years. Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're really good made product now. It's been around in Europe forever, so we've got a nice product in the United States.
In your experience, they work pretty well?
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Matt, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Plumbing Today. Alan Ayers from Chris Afully Brothers is with us. And over to Nancy in Wilton. Hello, Nancy in Wilton.
Hi. Real quick question. My husband and I keep going back and forth about whether it's possible to heat our home with geothermal. He says no. And stuff that I read says that they've made advancements, and even in this cold weather, it would work. What's your take on that?
Practically speaking or technically speaking, it'll absolutely work.
Huh.
It will work?
Oh, for sure. The Half Moon Town Hall up in Saratoga County, there's no fossil fuel delivered to the building whatsoever, and it's a big municipal building.
Yeah.
It's clear. It's just all geothermal heating and cooling.
Do you have to wear a coat when you go inside in the winter?
It's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'll be darned. Yeah. There you go, Nancy.
Wow. All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. You do much of that?
A little bit, not too much.
Yeah? Number here is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers is our guest. It's Vox Pop. Jim in Stone Ridge. Jim, you're on.
Yes, hello. Mike, excuse me, I have a Weil McLean Ultra 80 boiler for about 10 years, and whenever the power goes out and then restarts, why, most of the time the boiler ends up showing an error signal and stays offline until I reset the error signal. When I've asked the repair personnel on the annual inspection about this, they attempt to repeat it by turning off the emergency power switch to the boiler, and it always starts up again without fail. But meanwhile, when the power goes out in the middle of the winter power comes back on, the heat doesn't, and I've got a problem.
Quick fix may be, and it's not an absolute, but a quick fix may be to put a surge protector in line before the power source to the boiler. That'll help absorb some of that shock of that power coming on and off. You'll still have to reset something, but hopefully the reset will just be at that surge protector and not very much like you do for electronics.
The concern is if I'm away for a couple of weeks in January, things might go out. Also, perhaps I should also add, we have a standby generator, so it's a standby power generator that comes back on after 15 seconds. And then until the Central Hudson gets restored at some indefinite point.
I would suggest highly now that you have a standby generator, that you put a surge protector in front of the boiler. Hmm. That probably will solve all your problems.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. And Mitch in Bearsville. Hello, Mitch.
Yes, hello. I'm calling about my hot water baseboard. I live in a very old house, but an old farmhouse about 37 years ago. Had no heating system other than an old wood stove, so we put in a boiler and put in baseboard with the, you know, copper pipe that runs through with the fins. And the baseboard is, this is a cosmetic thing, but I have a second part. The baseboard is very starting to look pretty cruddy, and it's big, and it's rusting in, like, the bathroom where it's often moist, you know, humid. So I thought, I want to replace it. And I don't know whether that's something a a plumber. I would call a plumber, or would it be a builder? I don't know. Is that something that people commonly do, or you get questions about?
No, for sure. We get a lot of people that upgrade their baseboard that from the mid '80s or whatever, and they for the same reason, they're banged up corners and the vacuum cleaner has terrorized it, and it's time to replace it. So we often get that at our shop, and any local plumber should be able to handle it, if not an HVAC contractor as well.
Okay, and then the second part of the question is, under some of that baseboard is just straight copper pipe. It doesn't have the fins on it, and I don't know whether – is that something you just add the fins to, a plumber would add fins to, and it would radiate heat, or is that a different kind of pipe?
I do. The pipes that don't have the fins are not radiating heat per se. Maybe a little bit of hot to touch, but it's not really radiating.
And they're not the correct pipes.
I would assume that the room has enough radiation. Otherwise, it would be pretty cold.
Some of the rooms do, and some don't. I mean, it's like I say, it's very old, but we insulated it quite a bit, and we just actually replaced 25 windows.
Can you retrofit the fins onto the pipe?
Not onto the pipe, off of the pipe, though. So I would take the rooms that are warm and cut some fins off so that the heat would even out into the rooms that have less fins. And it doesn't cost anything but a pair of scissors.
So if you do that, you mean the rooms that aren't getting enough heat or quite enough heat would warm up a little?
Correct. So go to your warm rooms and cut 10 fins off and give it a week.
Mm-hmm. Never thought of that
and
one.
And see how you're going to slowly gain on it.
Very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch. And who's next? Chris in Cooperstown. Chris.
Hey.
Hello.
I got an odd problem that I never had before. I installed an antique sink in my bathroom, and you turn the faucet on, the water comes on. It's hot water. It comes on, and then it goes clunk and stops. And I turn on a little bit more, and it goes on, and water comes out, and it goes clunk again and stops. And then I turn on a little more, and it stays on. And I don't know whether it's like an air gap. I don't know what's going on with it.
Chris, you're the second person today.
Yeah.
You got a loose screw.
Oh, really?
You got a screw loose.
You got a screw loose.
Either that or maybe something when you put the sink in fell down into the copper tubing. So what you're feeling is either a loose screw, a rock, a pebble. It's rising up that copper tube.
And then hitting it goes down. Interesting. Yeah. So how do you fix that?
What I do is I take a bucket and pull the supply tube off the faucet, put the supply tube into the bucket, turn the water on, see if I can get it to surge out.
What if you can't?
Then you have to shut the main valve off, cut the valve, turn the water on, get a little wet, then resolder, a new valve on.
Oh, okay. You have to cut the pipe and
But maybe not, Chris.
Maybe not. Maybe not. A bucket would be my first choice.
All right, good luck. Hey, thanks for the call very much. We appreciate it. And now to Linda in Warwick. Hello, Linda.
Yes, hi. I have an HVAC airflow question, basically. We have a small ranch and a back bedroom, as we call it, is on the north side, tends to be colder, not being used. And in the winter, my husband wants to close it off to save on heat. But I notice that it tends to have a smell when you first go in the room, or there could be a buildup of mold on clothing and the bottom of where the wall starts. So the question is opening the door, thereby allowing airflow from the heated part of the house, good for that room and help keep mold down, or allowing it to get cold with no air movement?
I think opening the door is going to definitely help with ventilation of the room. And if you have concerns for mold, the more ventilation, the better. So I would suggest keeping the door open for that reason.
Yeah, okay. And the fact that the house used to have a whole house fan when we first bought it 30 years ago, and then it broke, 20 years ago, should we think of putting that back in, or is that something you only use in the summer to cool the rooms, bring the cool summer air in, night air?
Typically, the whole house fan is used for summer cooling during the spring and the fall. shoulder season cooling. But I would maybe suggest you get, you know, like a home repair guy over there to take a look at the mold. Because if you have, you know, visible mold, then you probably have more behind the visible mold. And I'd be more concerned about where it's coming from than trying to mask it maybe with just keeping the air running.
Yeah. And mold is essentially caused by moisture plus lack of air movement. Is that why mold?
Moisture primarily.
Forms?
Yeah, moisture primarily.
Moisture. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Linda. We appreciate it. And now quickly over to Rebecca in Kingston. Rebecca, you're on.
Hi. We bought an old abandoned house, and all the radiators had frozen and burst. So we've scavenged a whole new bunch of them, but they're not the same sizes as the ones that were originally there. And I thought they were approximately the same size, but then I was told that there's a whole complex calculation you're supposed to use to have the right size radiator. Is that true?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's super true.
Really?
Yeah, especially in the old cast iron. It's the square inches of cast iron and number of tube passes that have to be taken into consideration. So a cast iron radiator that's 3 feet by 3 feet by 8 inches may be different output than one of the exact same size.
Hmm.
Because it has more tube passes.
And it won't work? You can't adjust the output on, say, the boiler?
I mean, I could put a Corvette engine in a Yugo.
Yeah?
It'd work.
Have you done that?
On a different talk show.
All right, fair enough. All right, we have about 30 seconds here, Rebecca. Go ahead.
I would just enlist the help of an HVAC contractor to help you lay it out. Even if you're going to try to tackle the work yourself, most people will spend an hour with you to give you at least a point in the right direction.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. All right, Alan Ayers, how do people find Chris of Foley Brothers on the web?
They go to www.chrisbro.com.
Chrisbro?
Chrisbro.
And that's not like C-H-R-I-S. That's C-R-I-S-B-R-O.
Chrisbro.com.
Chrisbro.com. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Support comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 30 years. QFCC.com. Interactive Media Consulting, a team of online market strategists providing websites, branding, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond since 1996. iMediaConsult.com. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Watermarks, new work by Deborah Gertzi, celebrating the Mohawk River Valley in landscape, waterway, and village views through December 29th, arkellmuseum.org. At Capital Roots, offering inner-city Capital Region teens an opportunity to learn basic life skills like time management and conflict resolution through the Produce Project, striving to inspire them to dream bigger and bolder, capitalroots.org. Well, once again, thanks to Alan Ayers for being here, and thank you for listening. Great calls, great emails. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered today by Kayleen White. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo join us once again for a discussion of law enforcement and policing. Stand by now for The Book Show.